The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 1st of May, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Well, we had to leave the pause there.
We had to leave the pause there. And actually, can you move that just up a little more? Number two. I'm recording the show again. Steve is not here. And I'm having,
that's
what I need.
Trek convert?
I don't know. He's one step ahead of the law somewhere in the southeast, okay, I think. Okay. I'm not quite sure what's going on with him. But we're here today, and we'll be bringing you all kinds of good stuff until the 1 o'clock hour. And then it's the nation's pastime. It's baseball. And that'll be coming around at 1 o'clock from the New York Yankees, actually 1:05. Next week, you'll be delighted to know the game is at 10 p.m.
Whoa, we got cookies.
Cookies.
Yay, thank you, Mrs. Linton.
Rob's mom brought us cookies. God bless you. If you're listening today, you're a wonderful human being and a credit to the whole dang human race.
Yes.
And I believe this actually makes up for the fact that you actually gave birth to Rob. I think this is good.
Whoa!
We're good now. Next week's game is at 10 p.m., then 1 o'clock, then 4 p.m., and then 6 p.m. So a couple weeks we're...
Back to normal?
Next week we're back to normal, and then 2 weeks after that, and the week after that, and that takes care of May, and we'll see what comes after that. You can see that all at the Yankee site.
But June.
But we're here now. What about June?
May, you know, there's May, and then June follows May.
Right, and June is busting out all over.
Ooh,
so let's not go there, and we'll instead go to the news, and we'll start with, let's see, Dave.
Since
he's not here and I'm eating a cookie.
And I was just saying, Rob ain't going to do any
good cookie.
Well, first I got to say, you know, definitely since I was able to bail out, you know, I left my poor wife and Chris and Henry Gable still doing a garage sale at our new location at 70 Empire because we just moved in there.
So if you need a garage.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on over there and a lot of stuff for sale. A lot of weird stuff too because the guy that owned the place was a construction guy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of light fixtures and everything else. So if you got some time, go over and check 70 Empire Boulevard. Meanwhile, on the computer front, we'll briefly go over this one, Windows XP. The update's not going to be until after July. Surprise, surprise. So about
saying how long after July.
Yeah, I won't even waste any more airtime on that one. The other thing that's going around, and it's getting the spammers pretty well ticked off, folks, and you should be too, because right now, legislation is out there that wants to kind of curtail all this spam that you've been getting, whether you wanted it or not. I've been literally having folks, you know, constantly email me, I'm getting all this junk mail. I never got it before. Well, because the spammers are really getting worried, and they're saying that, you know, well, you know, if they're going to pass legislation, then the hell with that. They're going to put the pedal to the metal, and they're going to do everything they can to work around filters and everything else and just inundate you with all the spam that you possibly would never want or even dream or think of ever getting. The very popular one out there right now is you'll see that the postmaster is sending you a notice that this email didn't go through. It's another spam scam is the best way to put it. And you've just got to constantly, and I know, you know, folks say, it's such a pain. If you don't want to see this stuff, then you've got to keep constantly adding filters, especially if you're going to be using Outlook Express in an Internet Explorer. Keep adding the filters to your email, telling them when you get this message, whether it's from a particular sender or a certain context in the subject matter, you can add it as a filter. Once it's in there as a filter, you can then have it go right to the trash, and it'll cut it down some. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to cut it down some. Because then the spammers always find out different iterations, like on, say, Viagra. They'll put stars between it, spaces, stars and spaces and dashes, any which way they can to get around your filter so that you can wind up getting their junk mail on your email bucket. So it's an ongoing battle. Again, we can always recommend seriously looking into some of the software out there. Both Norton, McAfee, and a number of other companies have software out there that can filter out a lot of your email. I mean, I was getting, you know, 2,000-3,000 emails a day, and 99% of it was all spam and junk. But it's, you know, one of these things that you got to teach the program what you want to allow in, what you don't. A lot of them have the capabilities of taking your current email address or book, email, you know, address book, taking that and importing that, saying, okay, yeah, these folks I want to let in. Anybody else, ask me, and then I'll determine from there, you know, what I'm going to do with it. So,
right.
And Netscape's also added that feature, too. You can sit there and say whether this is junk mail or...
Right, a lot of them are adding those filters.
Yep.
Speaking of which, Microsoft is going to help us out. They're adding to their software more dialog boxes and other messages to educate people on safe computing. Tuesday at the Info Security Trade Show in London, Microsoft said new versions of Windows and Office will educate customers about security.
Telling them to use Linux?
Via dialog boxes, warning messages, and offers to automatically configure security settings. Okay, now let's see if we can get this scenario in our heads.
Uh-uh.
You're sitting at
your
computer. You're sitting at your computer, and a message pops up saying, your system's not safe, click here.
Yeah, right.
If you have a half a working brain cell, you're going to say, no thank you, I don't trust you. The spammers are all going to be making dialog boxes that look like the Windows dialog boxes.
They are going to have a field day.
It's not a bright idea. It's not a bright idea.
Because a lot of folks don't pay attention to the fine print.
That's exactly right.
They just sit there and say, you need this. Okay, boom, 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 boom. And they click on it.
Look at all the programs like Kazaa and things like that that actually say when you download them, you give us the right to add additional software to your machine as
mm-hmm.
we see fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then people complain, oh, there's spyware on my machine.
No,
you
why?
Said okay.
Yeah.
You let them do it. You told them it was all. Well, I didn't read that.
mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. You said okay. Anyway, the music industry, speaking of Kazaa and things like that, the Recording Industry Association of America sued 477 more computer users on Wednesday, including dozens of college students at schools in 11 states. It accused them of illegally sharing music across the internet. Man, I've never heard of anything like that. Mansfield University in Pennsylvania, Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia Institute of Technology, a whole bunch of others, all got hit, 477 people. Most of them are John Doe complaints. It identifies them only by their numeric internet protocol address, their IP address. Something, dot something, dot something, dot something. And the lawyers are going to work through the courts to request subpoenas against the universities and some commercial internet providers, and they'll have to track down the actual individual user. And, you know, whether you think it's that, you know, there are people who will disagree that downloading and file sharing is copyright infringement. I'm sorry, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what you think. It just is.
You didn't
it's the law. But whether or not you think it's okay to do, I don't really care. The point is, these universities and these internet service providers are required to comply with the law. Otherwise, they get fined and they get put out of business. And if the choice is you or them, it's going to be you.
Without a doubt. Hello.
So, if you're
sharing
email,
I go to jail and you go to jail.
Exactly right. I like you, but not that much. It's just a very weird thing. We're going to go to the phones now.
What? He's got to finish.
I'm sorry, Rob. Finish your cookie first. Rob's just sitting back with his feet up, munching on a cookie, zoned out on chocolate. He doesn't care. He's good to go. He doesn't care.
Our cookies are good.
They're dang good cookies. Our first caller, who we just barely got to, is Ray from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Hi. I'm running the SpyBot version 1.2.
Sure.
And I saw somewhere on another site there's a version 1.3 RC4.
Okay.
I don't see that on the normal SpyBot website.
If it's not on the SpyBot website, it's probably
beta.
It's a release candidate. That means it's beta at best.
Okay.
And it may be fake.
Okay.
You know, it's easy enough to see something like that and say, oh, we've got a new version out. I'll download it. Mm-hmm. My suggestion is always go to the main website and not to play around on somebody else's website.
Yeah.
Even though they say they have the same author listed, it's not...
Yeah, I can write a piece of software and say somebody else authored it. That's easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Copy a website. I mean, they're doing so much of that now, they don't care.
And even if it's real, it's beta.
Okay.
That means it's probably going to break, and the idea is if you're one of the people who is a tester, then you download it, you run it, it breaks your machine, you figure out why, you make it happen again and again and again, you send them a bug report, and then you reinstall all your software.
Okay.
So you probably don't want to do that.
One other quick one.
Sure.
You were talking about spam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I use MailWasher, and I find it does a real good job of bouncing things back.
Yep. There you go.
See, but bouncing, I have to tell you.
Bouncing just lets them know, I got a live
one. Well, bouncing does one of two things. If it actually came from that person, it means, we got a live one out there.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, since most of them are spoofing the address, you're annoying to the person who didn't send you the email.
Okay.
So I'm not a fan of bouncing. I'm a fan of killing,
mm-hmm.
but not bouncing.
Okay.
I got to say.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. I'm not.
Yeah. I don't
see the bouncing.
The list.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's just, like I said, it just annoys the world. I can't tell you the number of messages I get because I'm in apparently everybody's stinking address book on the face of the earth. I get hundreds of messages a day, your mail to X bounced. Well, you know mm-hmm. what? I know I didn't send mail mm-hmm. to X. Throw it away. Mm-hmm. It's just mail washer bouncing to somebody that I didn't send anything to.
Yeah,
next caller.
Put that type of message, that bounce, notice right into my delete file.
Exactly. Our next caller, Harry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Harry. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
I had some questions in regards to all this spyware business. It seems to be getting out of hand.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been listening very closely to the past several weeks, to all your references, and used everything in the security tangle.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And everywhere I go, I'm getting spyware.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, with the kind of a two-part question. The first part is with the adware. I noticed on different computers, it runs different quantities of processes. Sometimes I'll be running, it'll be processing 8 things, sometimes 10 things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With my Windows 98 SE.
Yep.
Am I getting an XP? Sometimes it's processing 40 things.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the difference. Sometimes it's has different processing.
Well, you just stated exactly what you're talking about. Is one, you're talking different operating systems, and you're also talking about different machines and variable speeds.
Right. It determines how many processes to run. It wants to run as many as possible to make the thing go as fast as possible. And it determines that by how much memory you have, the speed of your processor, which operating system you're running, what else is running in the background. There's a zillion variables,
yep.
and it just picks an acceptable number.
Okay. That sounds good.
Go for that one.
It's good. All we've ever asked is they say okay and hang up. We don't care if it's right or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
That's
a bonus
then.
Sure, because I mean, one processor is running at about 900 meg, and the other one's about 2.5 gigs. So.
Yeah, I mean, you say take a Pentium 4 XP machine with say 512K of memory versus a Windows 98 machine, say 233 with 64 meg of memory.
And XP can run inherently more processes more stably than 98 anyway,
mm-hmm.
okay. and you win.
All right. And then the second part of my question is, what's been coming up and what has happened to my brother is his browser has been hijacked.
Yeah.
And he is having all kinds of problems. And I'm wondering, what are the steps you take into finding out if your computer is hijacked, and is this just another form of spyware? Is this something more sophisticated than your
did
average
you try
spyware?
Did you try running Stinger?
Yes.
What did that find?
Well, it didn't find anything in the Stinger, and he's been running SpyBot,
mm-hmm.
and then he had some of his colleagues at where he works that gave him a program called Pest Patrol.
Uh-huh.
And that found all kinds of things. And I told him, well, that sounds pretty good. So I went to the Pest Patrol site, And they have a free trial version, but they want $40 a year, of course, subscription.
Sure.
And I didn't download anything, and when I closed out, I ran adware. I knew I was totally clean, and Pest Patrol put spyware on my computer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, I hate to say that, but that happens.
And so, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what steps I need to take. Do I need to go in and go somewhere in the registry to my brother's situation here in order for him to regain control of his browser?
Yeah, some of that you're going to have to do. There's a product called, well, see, the problem is no matter what you use, you're going to have to know a lot about what you're looking at. There's a product called Hijack This that lists all the add-ons and stuff for your browser. And
you got to be careful.
But you got to be careful what you remove because Hijack This will list a lot of things that really you shouldn't delete. That's why I've always hesitated to recommend it. It really is, you need to know what you're looking at. There's no easy sort of, it's these three file names, because it never is. I don't have an easy answer for you, I'm afraid.
Hmm. Okay, well.
Do backups of the registry.
Do you have any type of suggestion, what I should, is this something that needs to be maybe taken care of professionally by technician? Or
yeah, you can run the Security Tango.
Right.
Dance that regularly. But if that doesn't take care of everything, it really is time to go to, unless you know what you're looking for in the registry and you know what comes up and what you can really delete, it's time to take it to a professional.
I see.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just, a lot of this stuff requires a very specialized amount of knowledge, and most people just don't have it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and I sure do enjoy your show.
Thanks. I had a better answer for you. I hate saying, it is what it is.
Yeah. We can't change that.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate to say it. Our next caller is Mark on a cell phone. Mark, tell me you're pulled over on the side of the road.
Oh, I'm pulled over on the side of the road.
There we go.
Question for you. Running XP Home, the last week or two, the computer decides to shut off by itself. Just completely shuts off.
Uh-huh.
I'll reboot it. It may or may not shut back off again. Reconfigure it, go back a week or so. It'll be fine for a day, and then all of a sudden, it'll just completely just shut down again.
Two things. First, have you taken the case off of this kid?
No, I haven't.
Take the case off and take a look at that fan on the processor.
I thought maybe it was maybe overheating.
Yeah. Yeah, take a look at that and see if, in fact, it could be one of two things. Mm-hmm. The fan is either dying or it was put on with cheap heat sink glue or whatever they call that.
The other thing is you want to make sure that the fan in the back of your power supply is also turning well, too.
Okay.
How old is this machine?
About 3 years.
See, it may be time to replace. There's filter. Well, I don't know if you can anymore replace those filters. I don't think you can.
What?
In the power supply fan.
No, they've taken filters out.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, they just you just got to blow them
out. Do you have cats or do you smoke?
No.
None of that. Still.
But like I say, check the back of the power supply. You should feel a breeze coming out of there. Because, you know, if that fan isn't turning, if the bearings on that, because, you know, they don't last as long as they used to. And the bearings dry out very easily, and they seize up. So the machine's still running, but it's also causing it to overheat because now it's not drawing, one, the heat within the CPU away from it,
right,
because it literally draws it out the back, nor is it cooling off the components in the power supply.
Right.
Okay.
So you got to make sure both of those fans inside the case on the CPU and the fan in the power supply are both turning.
Gotcha.
Got it?
Okay. Fantastic.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, Mark. Our next caller is Ron from Avon, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. I got a problem. I don't know what happened. I have an e-machine. It's only a year old. All of a sudden, all the icons on top disappeared. You know, the one that shows you forward and backward, the arrows.
Mm-hmm. And the, oh, you mean on your icon. Web browser?
Yeah. And the the printer icon, you know, to print.
Yeah, that whole bar is gone.
Yeah, whole bar is gone.
Have you tried pressing F12? Or is it F11?
No.
Try that.
Try that.
What happens is you can put the thing into full screen mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I forget if it's F11 or
F12. F11, just press it any time or when you boot it up or what?
Once you get the browser opened up.
You're talking about your web browser, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. You may have set it into full screen mode, and I run Mozilla, so I'm just opening up Internet Explorer now to see if I can figure out where that is. Full screen mode, F11. There you go.
Yep.
It's in F11.
Yeah, open up the Internet Explorer and then hit F11.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Okay,
if that's not it, I mean,
it might have gone off the top of the screen. Now,
or you might want to check its toolbars to make sure that part's being displayed. You know how you under tools or view. You can sit there under the toolbars and adjust what you want to see, what you don't want to see.
Right. The other part is you go to view, and under toolbars you can check them or uncheck them, and they may be unchecked.
Yep.
If that's the case, then you can just check them again. Just point to them, click, and they'll show up. So those are your two things to do there, Ron. Give them both a try. I hope he was still listening.
Of course he is.
Our next caller is Jack from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'd like to talk about some spyware removal programs.
Okay.
Okay. The two that I'm most familiar with are AdAware and SpyBot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like there's more room for a whoops with SpyBot than there is AdAware.
Yeah. In both cases, though, there are a lot of there's a lot of room for whoops.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the reality is, and we talked about talked about this a little bit with Harry earlier. It's hard to know anymore what is safe to delete. You really have to have a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't seem afraid to just delete junk off their computers. No, you wouldn't open up your engine and randomly decide you don't need this part, whatever it does. I don't even know, but it just looks like I don't need it. But people do that in their computers all the time, and then they're surprised when they stop working.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to say about that. You know, if you know what you're doing, you know, anything that's a cookie, you can clearly remove. And AdAware labels things better, but it doesn't go as deep into the registry, and that's the problem. SpyBot goes into the registry deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always the possibility that you're going to find something that just shouldn't be removed. And there's just no way around that. You know, if you're in doubt, don't remove it.
Yeah, that's true. Focusing on the AdAware, I've seen recently on the free version that the download from within the program doesn't seem to work.
It depends on where you've downloaded your version as to where it goes for its updates.
Okay.
And in particular with the congestion on the internet nowadays, if it's going to one of the European sites,
mm-hmm.
It may not get there.
Oh, okay, because I have manually downloaded the latest
definitions.
Definitions just to get it working again.
Right.
And I thought, well, let's try the automatic within the program, and it wanted to downgrade me to where I was the last time.
Right.
So, different download sites would do that.
Yep, burr.
Yeah, okay. Third question, same subject.
Sure.
The pay version of AdAware, do you think it's worth it?
What's nice about the pay version is you can do some scheduling and stuff. Certainly, I think it's worth it.
Oh, okay.
We both save you some hassle, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's usually not that much either, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I haven't really priced it out. We are thinking about getting a whole bunch.
Well, then you can get a discount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, let you get the next caller then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. We appreciate it. Our next caller, since Jack was kind enough to let us go to that person, will be Al from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I just did a clean install of Windows XP.
Good.
And go on to Yahoo and try and play the Yahoo games, and nothing loads. I mean, the page loads, but the game itself doesn't load.
Right.
And I don't understand why.
Well, they're Java games.
Okay.
And Java is owned by Sun Microsystems.
Uh-huh.
Microsoft is owned by Microsoft.
Right.
XP is owned by Microsoft. And the folks at Microsoft and the folks at Sun don't like each other. So what Microsoft did was they created their own version of Java, which is not compatible with the real version of Java. And there are a whole bunch of things that simply don't work under XP. That's always been true. You have to download the newest version of the Java runtime from Sun.
Okay.
Not Microsoft.
Okay.
Right. I think I'm trying to find it now, and I'm of course, under the gun. So
the one thing I would suggest, though, is before you go and get the Java code, make sure, since you did a clean install, that you got all the Microsoft updates. Do the updates, because another one
I already did them.
Oh, okay, great, because another one in there is another patch for Java.
Okay.
And I'd hate to see it, you know, put Java in, have it working, then go to the Microsoft updates, and then that Java replaces the Java that is now working for you.
Right.
Okay.
But if you want the Sun Java, it's at java.sun.com.
Okay, great.
And you want J2SE, which is the desktop Java.
Okay.
And that's what you want. There's a plug-in and a web start and all that other stuff. And
you can just J2SE, you said?
J2SE, and that'll lead you to either Core or Desktop. And if you go to Desktop, you can download the JRE, which is the Java Runtime Environment. The other stuff is all for developing your own Java programs.
What was that second one you just said?
JRE, the Java Runtime Environment.
Okay.
It includes the plug-in and the web start stuff, and that's all you really need.
And the other one was J2SR. Okay.
J2SE.
SE.
Right. Standard edition, I guess.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. It's an interesting problem, you know. Everybody's got to be the last, you know. Big dog got to be the last one to mark the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe.
The visual on that one.
Thank you.
Yes. When my computer.
Yeah.
I turn the volume all the way up, and when you double-click the sound bar on the toolbar at the bottom of the screen, and that would just, in like 10 seconds, that would just slowly go down to zero by itself.
Have you updated the drivers for both the sound card and your speakers?
My speakers didn't come with any drivers. I don't think. They're just plugged into a headphone one,
right,
the headphone jack one.
Now, what type of computer is this?
It's a Dell Inspiron 8000.
Okay, but you might want to go to the Dell website and see if they have any updates. You can punch in, you know, your tag number, your service call number, and it'll tell you, it'll list all the components in your system, and you can there check. Matter of fact, you might want to bookmark that page with once it's got all your information, because periodically you can go to that and check to see if they have any particular updates for the components in your system. It's more or less them doing, you know, all the work instead of you having to go to say, oh, I got this particular video card, this particular motherboard, and, you know, going to all those various websites. They do the shopping for you, so it's one central place that once the drivers come out for that particular item, they'll be listed there for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I found that very handy for a lot of clients, is to use, you know, put in the service tag number in that,
yep,
and bookmark it. And then right there is now one central place that, you know, oh, yeah, well, we got a recommendation for a video card for here, and, you know, a motherboard update on this, and network drivers, and the whole nine yards, because so much is built onto the motherboards now.
Right. Right.
It's just a better way to do it.
Yep. Before we go back to the phones, I'm going to take a quick look at the poll on our website. Every week we do a poll. Last week we talked about Microsoft and Linux, and there was somebody who was saying that will Linux force Microsoft to build a better operating system? So I asked that question, yes or no. 312 of you voted, making it number 53 on the all-time hit list, thanks to each and every one of you who did so. 66% of you do, in fact, believe that Linux will force Microsoft to build a better OS, leaving 34% of you to say no. This week's poll comes from a poll that was done. There's the Info Security Trade Show is going to be in Europe at the end of April, and they did a survey. What they did was they went to the Liverpool Street station in London and just asked people walking by if they would share their login and password information in return for something. 70% of those people revealed their computer password in exchange for a bar of chocolate.
Jeez Louise.
34% of the people didn't even need a bribe. They took the chocolate, some of them, but they didn't even need a bribe. They just gave them their passwords.
Duh.
In a separate survey, almost 80% of the people unwittingly gave away information that could steal their identity when questioned. It's an interesting little problem. And so this week's question is, I'd give up my password for chocolate, coffee, cigarettes, Pez, a triple whip decaf mocha latte light on the foam, and a player to be named in a subsequent round or other, and leave an opinion. And we're going to leave you with 57 votes so far. So far, other leave an opinion is the big one. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites, where we are taking your computer calls. Our next caller is Julie from Palmyra, New York. Julie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
Okay, I'm calling us concerning my son's computer. It's an E-machine, and it has the wonderful operating system of ME.
You're taking Dave's mic away.
I knew you were going to scream. Anyways, it was working fine, and then
I'm not going to hit the cookies.
All right.
One day, what happens is he turns it on. It's the gray screen with the white lettering on it. Just is what serial number, etc., for that machine. Nothing works. Mouse doesn't work. No commands work. When you put in the recovery disk, it doesn't even respond to that.
They get to call that a recovery disk.
Stop it.
So, is there anything else I can help him do?
Buy him a new machine.
I knew it.
What it sounds like is the machine has, in some way and for some reason, forgotten that it has a hard drive. I don't think this is a software problem. If all she's getting is the screen that gives it the serial number,
yes.
It's not even booting. It's not finding the hard drive. It's a hardware problem, and you can't blame this one on ME.
I'll find a way.
ME is a pile of junk. I won't deny that, but I don't believe this problem is actually caused by ME.
Do you hear the hard drive spin up?
Nothing.
Yep.
It's gone, right?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
But hard drives aren't... What type of machine is this, Julie?
An E machine.
Yeah, but like a Pentium 3 or...
Oh, yes, it is.
Pentium 3? How much memory?
750. I think it's 750 megahertz.
This is worthwhile salvaging. In other words, you could put another hard drive in it, reload an operating system, not the one. I'd recommend going up to Windows XP, definitely.
Linux is free.
That's what I told him. Yeah.
Since, you know, you've got to do it clean from the get-go, go ahead and put XP in. Since it is, that fast of a machine, maybe a little bit more memory, he's going to have a system that's going to be able to do them for a while.
Okay. All right. But my suspicion was correct. The hard drive is kaput.
Yeah, it's a hardware problem.
Okay.
Caused by ME.
All right. Thank you
caused by ME.
Yes, it was.
Thank you, Julie.
Excess wear and tear on the equipment.
Even I'm not going to let that one fly. Our next caller is Jim.
Prove it's not
from
right. Prove it. Prove it.
All right. Our next caller is Jim from Naples, New York. Jim, save us from the insanity.
Hi, guys. You guys can hear me okay now?
Yeah.
I'm running Windows XP on a year-old Dell, and I'm running VEO Digital Studios and Outlook Express. And I used to be able to just click on to VEO Studios and be able to send pictures and photographs and video mail and all that, and just like something, just I've been into every part of the machine trying to find out why it won't do it. It always says failure now, constantly. And I don't know if it's...
What, trying to send stuff out?
Did this happen after you last updated a Microsoft update?
Yeah, actually, I did download the newest updates.
What they've done is turned off in Outlook Express the feature that lets other programs control Outlook Express. The reason they did that is because so many viruses send themselves out through Outlook Express by taking control of it. It's an all or nothing situation, I'm afraid.
So reloading my VEO Studio wouldn't help then?
No.
It shouldn't, no.
Because the controls are within Outlook Express.
Right.
That are determining what programs will have, you know, control of it.
Right.
And I believe that's under the tools and security options, isn't it?
I think so.
Would I be able to, like, send my pictures to a different file, different location, and then transfer them to email?
You might want to look into, there's a free program that if you get, like, Eudora.
Okay.
And try using that. Because when you install the new software, usually it says, you know, it'll prompt you and say, do you want me to be your primary, say, browser and email program? And you can say yes, and that will overwrite, you know, what Microsoft has taken over control.
Oh.
Right.
Okay,
and
I recently downloaded Mozilla. I started using that.
Matter of fact, I just upgraded to, which is comparable, the Netscape 7.1.
Right.
And I've used Netscape since... I can't remember what. I've just always used it. I don't get, you know, all that spam and junk.
No, I don't either. I get very, very little spam.
And very few viruses.
However, I do have 3,335 things of spyware on my machine.
Congratulations.
That's right. I run Spyware Nuker, and it ran it last night. It said 3,335. So I guess I got to work at getting rid of that.
Wait a minute. What was the record before?
You're supposed to.
I think 1,490. Tell you what. If you can, when you run the spyware,
yeah,
and it gives you the total screen,
mm-hmm,
you know that total.
Yeah.
Do a print screen.
Okay.
Save it to a file, and email it to me.
Okay.
I want a picture of that because right now we're having a contest. We haven't determined the prize yet.
Every weekend.
And see, we're trying to see, probably between now and our birthday celebration, we'll give away something. But right now, that would make you the top dog.
So if I just send you the screen of the spyware nuker, that'd be good?
Yep.
You got it.
I'll do that. And I'm also going to try that other, try to get somebody else as my default.
There you go.
And
there
see
you
if
go.
That works.
Give it a shot.
Listen,
thanks.
We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton. And me, Nick Francesco, on the great what?
I've got a funny story to tell you about that when we come back.
All right.
Oh, cool.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes with Rob's funny story and all of us on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Wouldn't making contact with us the old way be Pony Express? I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. And lo, we have Rob Linton with a story.
Well, no, it's not really a story. You know what? It's better than a story. No, you know how you always yell my name and, you know, okay. So how about this past week, knock on my door, FedEx delivery. Most people say Mr. Linton or something along, you know, most delivery people like that, you know what I mean? Rob, FedEx delivery. I'm like, okay, this is on the intercom. So I answer the door and he's just like, you know, I knew it was you. I listen to that show every week. I love when they scream your name.
And the FedEx guy.
The guy was really cool, but I got to tell you, I was a little freaked out.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
This is what happens
groupies.
When celebrity reaches you.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just the fact he's like, I love it when they scream your name. Not, I love the show. I love it when they scream your name.
I'm assuming they're meaning on the air.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Our next caller, Susie in a car. Susie, tell me you're pulled over on the side of the road.
Oh, what was that?
Sort of.
What's that song? Oh,
she's Susie driving
Q?
On the curb.
What? Oh, yeah, I'm close to the white line.
Okay, good.
I have, with all the wonderful stuff you guys talk about, my question probably is fairly trivial, but I do a small business on eBay, and I like to watch things on eBay, and I will go to put something in my watch page, or I'll bid on something, and Netscape crashes. It just completely crashes everything.
What version of Netscape?
Aha, my husband told me he'd ask me this. It's 6.21 or 6.21.
Yeah, you need to update.
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 Because they've, what's probably happening is if some of the other stuff was written in different JavaScript, you know, and you're trying right. to use an older version and it's trying to read it, it's kicking back errors. I'd go right to the Netscape webpage and uh-huh. you can upgrade to 7.1.
Okay.
And you'll like that better.
Also, how much memory do you have?
Tell me what the memory is.
128 meg, 64 meg,
256
meg.
256, that's a number I know, 256.
256 is good, okay. So the problem is probably Netscape itself. So I think Dave is actually right.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's a shocker, I know, but it's true.
Occasionally.
So I hope my Dave is listening to this because he's in a car going in another direction. And so we got to get
7.1.
Dave, she needs the latest version. Or you can go to Mozilla, which is the same thing. But if you're going to stick with Netscape, and there's nothing wrong with that, 7.1 is where you want to be.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Have fun. And I hope eventually Susie and Dave's cars are heading in the same direction because...
Not if they got different appointments.
Or not if they got different appointments, okay. Oh, I see. We're just really talking about the cars, not about the...
Person.
The people. It's not a metaphor. It's actually people in cars.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just confused there for a minute.
Yeah.
And so, that's I understand that. That's all right. We want Susie to be happy. The interesting part that folks need to understand is about programs like that. You need to keep them up to date. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, things are changing on the internet so quickly that it's almost impossible to assume that something you're going to see like last year or even 6 months ago is going to work as well today as it did then.
It could change by next week.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's it for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get.
And we got to thank Mrs. Linton for the wonderful cookies.
You're a wonderful woman, Mrs. Linton. Thank you so much. We'll be back here next Saturday. I believe regular bat time, regular bat station. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright and Rob Linton. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.